All right, welcome to Talk is Jericho. It's the Pod of Thunder and Rock and Roll. Today, we're going to talk about cosplay. What is cosplay? I'm going to tell you all about it with Tanya Tate. She's going to explain all the cosplay in the Comic-Con culture. Xavier Woods, huge cosplay guy, as you heard here on Talk is Jericho. And coincidentally, this weekend is the big Comic-Con convention in San Diego, where Tanya Tate will be as her cosplay character, Lady Titan. Timing is perfect. We're going to talk all about superheroes, the superhero character she created, Lady Titan, what she plans to do with it. There's dolls, comic books, even movies. And also, Tanya Tate's also an adult film star, huge in the UK. And yes, there are some differences making adult movies in the UK versus the United States. We'll talk a little bit about that. But first, got to take care of the two most important parts of this podcast, you guys and my sponsors. That's right. If you didn't support all the great Talk is Jericho sponsors, I wouldn't be able to do this for you for twice a week for free. All right, so thanks for supporting Diamond Dallas Page and DDP Yoga first and foremost. You know how much I dig DDP Yoga, especially the new DDP Yoga Now app. It's been my mission to let everyone know about DDP Yoga because of how great the program is, how much it's helped me. It saved my pro wrestling career. Did you see my match on SmackDown Live against Cesaro? We went out to create the best 3.5-4 minute match we could, and we did it. It was nonstop, one long high spot featuring a lot of high impact moves. I actually even got a text from DDP after saying, "Man, are you okay?" And I said, "Of course I'm okay, because I've been doing DDP yoga. This is legit. It's changed my entire life, saved my life in a lot of ways. It's also saved Jake the Snake Roberts' life," which you can see for yourself in the amazing documentary Resurrection of Jake the Snake. Dallas Page and his crew put this together. They've won awards for it, and believe me, this is not a typical wrestling documentary or even a wrestling documentary at all. It's a great personal story about how Jake Roberts beat his demons, battle back from the brink of death to reclaim his life and his family. Such a great story. So many people checking it out and digging it. It's now the sixth highest rated documentary of all time on Netflix. All right. How many documentaries are out there? It's the sixth rated of all time. Go watch it now. Be sure to rate it after you watch it. Netflix and chill tonight with The Resurrection of Jake the Snake. I'm telling you, this documentary will take you on a roller coaster ride of emotions. It'll leave you feeling inspired and ready to take on the world at the end. And once you've fired up to change your own life, take advantage of this amazing offer that Dallas is giving to Talk is Jericho listeners. 20% off anything you battle just at ddpyoga.com/Jericho for a limited time. That's 20% off DDP Yoga. 20% off the collector's edition DVD and Blu-ray of The Resurrection of Jake the Snake documentary. 20% off anything at ddpyoga.com/Jericho. Go take advantage of it. Change your life. Start today. ddpyoga.com/Jericho. Get in the best shape of your life mentally and physically. I just wanted to make one more thing about the SmackDown match we had, Cesaro and I. We showed up at the arena and we had 6 minutes to do a match. And usually you'd be like, come on, 6 minutes? It should just be a squash match. If that's the case, put some local guy in there, a jobber as we used to call him. But I guess they wanted a marquee match. And Cesaro and I have been working each other for months and months and months, along with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, who, by the way, we probably could be working for another months and months and months because we're still all on the same show. But I said to Cesaro, listen, let's go out there and have the best 4 minute match of all time. Let's try. I saw a match once with Owen Hart versus 1-2-3 Kid at the King of the Ring 1994, and it was the first round, I believe, and they had about 4 minutes of match time and absolutely destroyed it. One of the best matches you can see. Go Google it now. Owen Hart versus 1-2-3 Kid, King of the Ring. You'll see what you can do with the time you're given. You know, sometimes you're given 20 minutes. Sometimes you're given 2 minutes. Sometimes you're given 4 minutes. You make the best of what you get and do the best you can to make your mark. And that's what we did. I think Cesaro and I had one of the best matches of the show that night, and definitely one of my favorite matches I've had over the last few weeks for that exact reason. It was a quick match, but it was nonstop action. We pulled out the stops and did some real innovative stuff. So thank you if you watched it. If you haven't watched it, go try and check it out. And go watch that Owen Hart match versus the 1-2-3 Kid, which is so cool to see because you forget just how good Owen Hart was. He did a tope at the beginning, and most guys do them now like Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins. They just come straight out of the ring like a torpedo. Owen came through like a classic flying body press, and I was like, man, he was so good. So God bless Owen Hart, and God bless all of you. Thanks so much for checking out SmackDown. Thanks so much for checking out Talk is Jericho today. It's cosplay with Tanya Tate. Let's get down to it. I'm here with the lovely Tanya Tate, and you're definitely the most prepared guest I've ever had.
Thank you.
You brought so many, like, you got pictures and DVDs and toys and all this stuff. And it's funny because we finally meet face to face.
I know, eventually. It's like it's been quite a while, hasn't it, in the doing.
But that's how it becomes, like, you become friends nowadays, like, almost over social media and texting. Like, mm-hmm. I don't even know if I really talk to too many people on the phone anymore.
Like, I don't talk to anyone on the phone.
Right.
Don't call me.
Yeah.
Not unless it's, I have a special phone number where fans can call me, actually.
Right.
So I take them calls.
Yeah. That's what you have to do. See, that's funny because, like, nowadays people have, it's not just about doing one thing. It's about having your brand. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for example, I wrestle, I play music, I do a podcast. You are a porn star and a famous cosplayer. It's like a huge cosplayer.
I am a cosplayer, yeah.
Right.
So a lot of people know me. Yeah. I don't know how famous I am, but
amongst your fans, you have a lot of people that are following you. And I want to talk to you about a lot of the stuff that we've been discussing. But the thing to me is, I was telling you before, I had Xavier Woods on this show.
Yeah.
Who is a real cosplayer. The one that he told me to ask you about is called Dragon Con in Atlanta.
I've never been.
Okay, never been. But
no.
That's a big one on the East Coast.
Yes. There's quite a lot of really big ones. Like, people always go, are you going to go to this convention or that convention? And they've got them back home in the UK. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I just want to go to every convention. But it's, you know, with the schedule and, like, if it's in California, it's easy for me to get there.
Mm-hmm.
If it's somewhere else, it's like, yeah, let's get the company to fly me in and bring me in as a guest. And then I'm there.
Well, obviously, I can tell if you're from Liverpool.
Yes.
Like, we talked the Scouser accent.
Scouser, you even got that one.
Yeah, it's a little bit there. I know there's a lot of Liverpudlians. How did you come over to the States for the adult industry, or did you just kind of show up here to find your fame and fortune? And
well, actually, I was in London, mm-hmm. and I bumped into a girl who was American, and she invited me over, and I come over and hung out and stayed in her house. And she lived in Woodland Hills, actually.
Okay.
And so I was coming backwards and forwards, and somewhere along the line, I started working over here. I was already shooting in the adult industry when I lived in the UK.
In the UK.
Yeah. And then I kind of come over here on a few trips, and then I ended up just
Is there a difference between the adult industry in the UK and America?
I think in America, it's like much, much bigger. Mm. There's a lot more companies, but particularly in the UK. So the UK is kind of tightly knit, but it's gone even smaller. And they don't like you to do certain things. So there's certain things that are banned in the UK, like things that I would do to people, like spanking.
Spanking is banned.
It's banned.
To film it or just to do it?
If you're making adult movies and you want to release them in the UK and you make them in the UK and you're not allowed to do spanking.
Really?
They brought these new rules out. It was just like ridiculous. And you can't do things like certain role play. So you can't say, have you been a bad little boy?
Really?
Because it's like role play in between adults and like younger people. So you can't do like schoolgirl. I'd done two movies, Brit School Brats and Brit School Brats 2, and they were both in London. And actually, we shot in the same place as The King's Speech. Do you remember that movie, The King's Speech?
Yeah.
That big building. So we shot it in there. So it was like a lot of like naughty schoolgirls. Of course, everybody is over the age of 18, and everybody has to show ID. So no one's really a real schoolgirl.
Mm-hmm.
But something like that. Now, if I wanted to like release that in the UK, they don't like it.
Does that go back to like the old Queen's rules or something like that? Or, I mean, I'm from Canada, so I understand the Commonwealth, you know, and there's mm-hmm. certain, like, we still have the Queen on our money. And
yeah.
I don't know if they do it now, but when I was in school, you would sing God Save the Queen before class. This is in Winnipeg, Canada.
Oh, wow.
I don't know who the damn Queen is, but you're singing God Save the Queen because that's just what you're supposed to do. Those mm-hmm. are the rules, right?
Yeah.
So does it go back to that? Like, no spanking because it wouldn't be allowed to spank in 1822.
I think somebody in their little frame of mind in the government department has gone back in the ages.
Hmm.
It's like we're going backwards in the UK. But I was lucky enough to, like, as well as being an adult performer, I also direct movies as well.
Oh.
So I've been lucky enough to be able to direct my movies both in the US, and then I went back to the UK and did a couple of movies that I directed and produced in the UK as well.
So are you like for the UK, like stars, adult stars, porn stars, are you like kind of one of the top ones?
Yeah.
Like, are you like the top one?
I'm definitely the top UK MILF, and I'm one of the, probably the top on one hand, I'd say. Because here's the deal, is that a lot of my fan base, like a lot of them, say 50% of my fan base are American, say 25% of my fan base is from the UK,
mm-hmm.
and then the rest of it is split between Europe and Australia and fans in Turkey. So it's all over. So in terms of popularity, I'm still, you know, I'm very well known both in the UK and America.
Mm-hmm.
So if you was to like look up like British MILF, I'd be there at the top.
If you look under British MILF the dictionary, it's you.
Well, I am 10 times MILF of the Year winner.
MILF of the Year. Now, is this a contest or there's judges or who's judging this?
Different people, because there's different competitions or different award shows, I should say. Like all the big ones that I got nominated in was like AVN. A lot mm-hmm. of people have heard of AVN. Well, I won XBiz MILF of the Year.
You won which one?
XBiz. That's kind of like the
okay.
It's one of the other big ones. And then there's a few in the UK, and there's a few different ones around America. But some of them are fan voted. Some of them but most of them are like industry voted. Like reviewers have to get the product and they have to look at it, and then they have to decide, you know, is this person or this movie worthy of a nomination? So even coming up, we've got some awards in a couple of weeks. I'm up for Best Lesbian Performer. My movie's up for Best Taboo.
Oh, because I see Taboo, like you're having sex with your brother or something.
Yeah.
Because that's a whole fetish.
A big whole fetish, yeah. I'm known as the woman that makes the movies with like older women and younger girls. So I actually have my own series called Lesbian Family Affair, and we're up to number 3, and that's nominated. It's kind of like, it's not real. And, you know, any of the people in the movies were not allowed to be blood related, obviously.
Well, of course.
You know,
playing
so
a part.
It's yeah. a role play. Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's the thing. I've had, you know, Asa Akira has done the show and Stormy Daniels has done the show, and they're both awesome, awesome girls. But I'll ask you the same thing. Like, we're talking about playing a part. So when you're actually filming, is it hard sometimes to show up and you're like, oh, I've had a shitty day, or I got to pay this bill. And then you got to be like, hi, and be Miss Sexual. Like, do you have to slip into the role? No pun intended.
Yeah, slip right. in. for me, it's like I go to set and I want to enjoy myself, mm-hmm. you know. And yeah, you wake up one day and you're feeling like
shit. Like, yeah, shite.
shite. You don't feel the best. But I think once you get to set, you know, your mind's focused on other things. You sit in the makeup chair, you're getting your makeup done. I find it very relaxing sitting in the makeup chair.
Mm.
I like my makeup artist to be very calm. And so I choose certain girls that will make me calm in the makeup chair. And I think once you start focusing, you just forget everything else. And, you know, once you're there in front of the camera, you're not thinking of other things. You're thinking about, well, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to look? You know, do I move this bra strap a bit lower? And, oh, so there's like loads of different things and you just get engulfed in it, you know. And if my day started bad, I'll just be like, hey, cup of tea.
Yeah.
Have a nice cup of tea and some breakfast and yay, I'm ready to go. I'm quite a positive person.
Well, when you're directing too, do you are you in the movies that you direct? So you have to direct yourself.
Yeah, that's so the hardest part.
How do you do that? Like, move the camera over here, get some better lighting. Come on.
That's the hardest part, I think, is being in the scene as well. For me, I kind of plan everything. So right from the beginning, in terms of like what the story is going to be, write like a little mini script, decide on who the talent are going to be. But it's all about having a really good team, you know. So there's two certain makeup artists that I like to use. There's one certain set of, you know, video guy that I like to use. And it's all about supporting each other. So, you know, we'll have a prep talk at the beginning. He knows what I want, what I need. So as we're going through it, It's not like a regular movie where, you know, you've got to stop, start, stop, start. Once you get that little intro in, you know, there's always a little intro in most porn
like the
movies.
Plot.
Yeah, the plot. Yeah. That some people fast forward it, but actually some people watch it.
I'd rather have, and I've learned this from, also taught me of gonzo porn, which is just sex and that's
it. It's just straight in.
But you like
nothing.
Having a little story first.
I like little stories.
Yeah, knock on the door, you know, the plumber's there, yeah. Whatever it may be, right?
You got a leaky pipe.
So do you write the stories? How do you write the stories and make them not that? Or do you...
No. You just, I think sometimes I just sit down and I'm like, okay, so what have I got to do? This movie, the last movie that I did, Girl Fiction, it's going to be a new movie coming out. It's in 4K. It's all hot girls. We've used toys. There's a lot of outdoor stuff going on. So the company were like, okay, so this is, I want hot old women, hot young girls. I want toys in it and I want a story. There you go.
That's
like,
it.
Okay.
Make the movie.
So I'll just sit down and I'll just think of like, sometimes I'll be in the shower and I'll just think, oh, that's a good scenario. I'll just stand there, you know, washing myself. And
in the shower.
In the shower like you do. And I'll just think of like a little scenario and I'll think, oh, I'll write that down. And then it just kind of like comes. It just flows. And there's nothing really a lot to it, you know. I'm sure you've seen enough movies.
I've heard about them.
I haven't seen any.
How long have you been doing films for, adult films for?
I started in 2008, and then I moved to the U.S. in 2010.
So it's not been that long. You know, it's 7 years, 8 years. Right, okay. Has the business changed a lot? Because I know even like in the record industry, even over those last 8 years, it's gone completely wacky as far as how things used to be. Even the fact that you have a DVD that you gave me, pretty soon DVDs will be obsolete.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it got changed when a lot before my time is when they went from VHS.
Yes.
And then it went online. So it was really big because people were paying for subscriptions. But then the big change came when piracy. You know, that word piracy, and suddenly everybody was uploading it to the free websites. Mm-hmm. And then people could download them. So a lot of revenue was lost that way.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of like decreased a lot. You know, so a lot of people are watching it online. A lot of people don't want to pay for it anymore. So people don't realize that by watching it free online, you're not paying for it. You're reducing the budgets of the companies. You're reducing the budgets overall. And, you know, there's not as much work as there was. There's not as much money as there was, you know, even to the point where the companies were like, you know, we're not going to give you makeup and, you know, we're not going to give you lunch and just like really kind of like quite purse cutting costs. So yeah, it has changed. And even for me, just seeing it from like 2008, 2009, 2010, when I first started, it's definitely decreased as well. But, you know, the companies are still shooting. There's no doubt about that.
Well, they're up. There's new scenes and films every day, every week. But I mean, like you said, for example, if you're a musician, 10 years ago, you would have two big revenue streams. You'd have the live shows and then you'd have the money you make off the record sales. Well, no, record sales are done. And I heard even like iTunes will even stop doing downloads in a couple of years. It's all on Spotify and streaming and that sort of thing. So now it's all completely based around the live shows. For an adult film star, how do you replace that revenue? What do you like? What are the two streams? If you lose all the streams from making the money, is it dancing or is it do you go work and go do shows in the strip clubs?
I mean, a lot of girls do different things. And I always say this to a performer, always have an out plan. Because at the end of the day, you know, I'm not going to be making movies forever. I don't want to be a gilf in front of that camera.
A gilf. Wow, a gilf.
I don't want to be one of them.
Or a gilf.
Oh, God,
Gigi,
no. Don't even go there. There's a niche for everything, but that's not my niche.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got to have your different streams of revenue. You know, for me, it's all about fan interaction. You know, people can't pirate genuine fan interaction.
Right.
So you know, just get that fan interaction. Even like when I was sitting there and just waiting for you to come up the stairs and my phone's going, the text is going, I have like a text and chat so the guy can text me and I'll text back and I'll send him
a texting chart, you said?
Like a text and chat.
Oh, text and chat. Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay. So you must have like three or four phones, I would hope.
It's just one phone. Oh.
Like, you're in the grocery store.
I can only talk once, but actually I can multitask. So Monday I was on webcam And the phone goes. So I takes the phone call. I'm like, I'm on webcam and everyone's watching and now I'm talking to you.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Props on the Tanya Tate name. If that's not a comic book name, like a superhero, like, you know, Supergirl's real name or whatever, Tanya Tate.
I know. It's like, well, Stanley, it's like, it's always like TT or, you know, and yeah, so it was like Tanya Tate.
You're a big comic book fan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am. You know, I get out to a lot of the conventions and I have a lot of fun with it.
Well, let's talk about this. I mean, we mentioned the cosplay. How did you, well, first of all, explain what is cosplay? Because I'm very much a rookie when it comes to the whole concept of what cosplay is.
So cosplay is like costume play. So it's, you know, people dressing up in different superhero costumes. So it's kind of like really taken off big.
Huge, yeah,
yeah,
it's a thing.
It's massive now. It wasn't as big as, I think it's like the last 5 years, it's really, really grown. Mm-hmm. You know, it used to be, you used to think, oh, it's just like geeks. You know, when I was younger, I think, oh, have you went to a comic convention? You know, it's just young teenage boys, you know, that sit all the time in the bedroom and then they come out for the comic convention. Mm-hmm. That's what you always used to think that it was, you know, and it was something that you probably didn't think that you'd ever go to.
Right.
And then when I came across here to America, I was actually in San Diego. It was 2009. I was in San Diego and I just seen all the streets filled with all these cosplayers. People dressed in costumes.
For a San Diego Comic Con, I imagine.
San Diego Comic Con, yeah. I was like, wow, what is this? What is it? And the person I was with, actually, I was in San Diego to do a shoot for Naughty America. <It's> like, and I was like, what is this? And the next year, I was back in LA again in 2010. And I was like, you know, I'm going to try this. And I went and bought myself a costume and got myself there.
What would you do? What did you dress up as?
Emma Frost.
As what?
Emma Frost, like the Ice Queen, X-Men. You know,
okay.
The white, you see her in the white clothes. And I was thinking to myself, well, what costume shall I get? So I was trying to think of a character that I kind of liked, that I thought I might resemble. My hair was a little bit blonder then. It's a little bit more au naturel right
brown,
now.
Yeah,
like, it's light brown now.
Yeah.
But it was more blonder. And I got it. It was like this. It was just bought from a store, a little mini skirt and a little like crop top with a cape and put some white thigh high boots on. I was like, I'm ready to go.
It's perfect.
Yeah, it looked really good. And that was the first time really that I'd been to a comic convention. And it was just massive. It was just mad. And I can remember getting out the car and walking a few steps and people were like, can I take your picture? Can I take your picture? Can I take your picture? And this kind of like carried on the whole of the time that I was there. I was like, wow. And afterwards, I went and, you know, put some pictures up online because I'd been making movies and stuff. And I can remember thinking to myself, wow, people are so interested to take pictures of me with my clothes on. it was quite a nice feeling. And from there, I just put some pictures up online and people were really responsive to them. And it kind of like grew into a blog and I come up with like just a lot of Tanya. So I have like a little cosplay blog.
And what do you write about in your cosplay blog?
Well, first of all, it was just really pictures of me and at the different comic conventions. And then it kind of grew. And then I started doing reviews. So I'd do things, reviews on stuff that I'd like. Sometimes they were written reviews. And then I started doing YouTube reviews. So I have a little YouTube channel, Tanya Tate Tube. And
you're reviewing things that you like at you see at the conventions.
Yeah.
So like, what is like for, okay? So if you go as a cosplayer, because like you said before, it was just dressing up.
Yeah.
But now it's an official thing. So is there like contests to have like the best costume at a comic convention, or is it just getting in the spirit of things and just like dress up because you're there?
There's a bit of both. Mm-hmm. You know, some people they just want to dress up, you know, even if it's just a t-shirt, you know, a Superman t-shirt or something like that. People will go with something as simple as that. They feel that they're in the spirit because that's what it's all about. You go to a comic convention, stick something on that's a little bit comic-y, yeah. You know.
Go to a Kiss concert, wear a Kiss shirt or, yeah. You know, whatever, right, makes sense.
But there are like contests, and I have to admit, I've never been in a contest. The reason being is because a lot of people will make their own costumes. And they are fantastic. You know, if you've been standing there and you see a guy in an Iron Man suit and he's made it all by hand and it's all these pieces of fiberglass or whatever it is he's made it from, he's spray painted it and he moves it and the helmet comes up and the light comes on. And
they put a lot of time into this.
A lot of time into it, right. Yeah. I've actually judged a few cosplay
contests. So tell me about some of the other great costumes that you've seen.
Oh my God.
I did one actually in Wales last year. They had the Ghostbusters and they had the whole pack, like the Ghostbusters where you're catching the ghost, but it was moving, it had lights, and it looked like the one from the movie that he made it completely. It was amazing.
Yeah. There's just, oh my God, I don't even know where to start. I was trying to rack my brains last night. I'm thinking, I have like judged comic cosplay contests. And I'm trying to think of the ones that won. it's just so many. There's so many intricate parts. You know, people spend months and months and months making these costumes. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be judging more contests coming up. They've brought their cosplay into the adult side as well now. So we've got Exotica coming up. Exotica Expo is like a fan show. There's one coming up in Chicago in July. They've just brought Columbus, Ohio out in August and New Jersey in November. And also I'm going to Sexpo, South Africa, which is in October. And apparently I'm now the judge of the cosplay contest.
You're
there
the queen
as
of
well.
The parade, right?
I am. So I'm really
Is there a lot of connection between the porn world and the cosplay world as far as fan base?
Yes, I didn't realize that there was. You know, I've been to a lot of comic conventions, you know, San Diego Comic-Con, Long Beach Comic-Con, Geek Media Expo, WonderCon. And I will go to the conventions, you know, I don't have a big sign on my face that says, hey, I'm Tanya Tate.
Right.
But and some of the costumes that I wear, you know, the same ones that I've wore before, some of them are brand new ones. And I will go up to, you know, people will come up to me or I'll go up to people. Sometimes I'll do... I'll interview people for my cosplay blog and for my YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I'll go up and I've got the mic and I'm like, hey, can I interview you for my channel? And I can remember one woman, she just looked at me and she's like, no, you can't. I was like, what? Wow, what's option? I'm a teacher. And she was freaking out. Wait. She was like running.
Blow my cover.
I know. And I was like, well, it doesn't say I'm Tanya Tate. But she kind of like knew. So people do know me. And when they meet me, you know, I don't go to these conventions, the comic conventions. I don't go as Tanya Tate, the porn star. You know, I go as just as me being a cosplayer. Mm. And, so I actually cover up more than some people. You know, I've seen like thong bikinis and just like, no.
It's like Halloween. You can dress up like slutty nurse or something like that. Slutty She-Ra.
Yeah.
Is that a thing? She-Ra. She-Hulk. That's what I was going for.
Oh, She-Hulk as well.
Worst comic book character ever. She-Hulk.
She-Ra's a bit hotter. I've done She-Ra, but I've never done She-Hulk.
The best is with like the Hulk. No matter what he was wearing, it would always, whenever he turned to the Hulk, he'd always have purple ripped up pants. And She-Hulk, whatever she's wearing, she always have like ripped up Daisy Dukes, like just conveniently ripped in that position every time.
I've got some lovely little She-Hulk pajamas, you know, like little booty shorts and a little vest top.
Yeah, right.
They're
right.
Quite cute. Sometimes do me webcam show in them.
In the She-Hulk. Most obscure reference, and you have She-Hulk pajamas. Of course you do. What were some of the other costumes that you dressed up as? You said you started as the X-Men. What did you say? Ice?
Emma Frost. Ice Queen,
right?
Yeah.
Ice Queen, right?
Oh, my God. I've done so many. I've done Invisible Woman.
It's like the Julie Newmar Catwoman here.
The Julie Newmar Catwoman, yeah. I'm picking
you actually
up
look like Julie Newmar, kind of.
So, actually, I met Julie Newmar once when I was in that costume.
Oh, really?
I don't know which, it was a local LA one, LA convention, and I was there with some friend of hers called Wally, and he's walking with me, and he went, oh, there's Julie, and then he just by the way, is walking with me. Come over, come over. So we just kind of walked past because he was going to say hello. She's got a line that is like as long as the hall is. It was so long, this line. And she saw me. She went, oh, bring those beautiful bosoms here. And she like done this thing with her hands like, you know,
she's going to squeeze the beautiful bosoms.
And I went and had a picture with her and she was fantastic. You know,
who's the hottest Catwoman? Is it Julie Newmar? Is it, who replaced her? Okay, Julie Newmar, Michelle Pfeiffer, Halle Berry's in there.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any other ones?
Eartha Kitt.
That's what I was trying to think of. I was thinking Ella Fitzgerald, but it's not. It's Eartha Kitt.
Do you know what? I think Eartha Kitt had the most sexual.
Yes.
She was smoking.
She played it too, like it the sound that, of a cat. Like, yeah. Like just like you hear that, you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah. I think wow. She's probably the most commanding.
I think so. Yeah. I think Michelle Pfeiffer wasn't bad, but I also, Julie Newmar, you know, and listen, you put on a Catwoman outfit, you're going to look pretty damn good either way. Okay, so you were Catwoman. You got a list here. She-Ra, which I just once again threw that out of the top of my head, and you actually were She-Ra. Is that a jungle girl or something?
It's He-Man. It's on my picture.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Castle Grayskull.
Okay, so is it this one?
Yeah, well, that's She-Ra. And then on the other side of the 8x10, that's Princess Adora. So this was her.
Who's Princess? That's the double whammy.
Yeah.
Okay, they're the same character. But her brother
was He-Man.
Oh, okay. That's a He-Man thing. Okay.
Yes. And there's PowerCon, which is the convention, like the Masters of the Universe convention.
It's actually called PowerCon?
PowerCon. I've been to that one as well.
How many bad Skeletors do you see there?
I see different types of Skeletors. Some costumes are made better than others.
Right. Is there ever really some really bad ones where you see some guy and you go, oh, poor guy. I remember when I was a kid, I wanted to go as Batman, and my mom got me this cardboard cutout face that you put a string around, and it was just, and you cut the eyes out, and it was like Batman's face with the eyes. It was like the worst. And I show up there, and the first thing I see is a kid in a full Batman outfit, and I got my stupid cardboard Batman face. So there you go. That was my bad cosplay.
I think there's a few like that. But, you know, if I see a little kid like that, I'm like, oh, he's so cute.
Yeah.
You know, I always think they're trying, you know.
Yeah, they're trying to fit in the spirit of things.
Yeah.
Not everybody has the cash to get a full-on Batman outfit.
They're expensive, some of them, especially if you've got a few kids and you're trying to dress them all, mm-hmm. you know. So I think you would have looked cute anyway.
Well, I tried. So yeah, and then you get Susan Storm, the Invisible Woman.
Yes, that one. That costume, actually, it was kind of like a cross between the original one from the Fantastic Four and Pamela Anderson's one.
Oh.
So it was kind of like, you know, we dropped the cleavage a bit.
Pamela Anderson was never Susan.
She was like, she was like in a superhero movie.
Like Barbed Wire? That's what it was called, Barbed Wire. Her superhero character was Barbed Wire. Get it? Barb? Like Barbara?
Yeah, it wasn't that one. She was.
You get it? Yeah, it wasn't all that great.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a whole list here, though, like Black Canary and
Play Penelope Pitstop. That was cute. That? Remember the Wacky Races, the cartoon?
Oh, wow.
And you remember the girl? Help, help. My best American accent.
Do you have to do a voice sometimes?
No, hopefully not.
I don't know if that was part of it.
No, I don't. Okay. Because my American accent sucks.
Try your American accent.
I just did. You missed it. You'll have to play it back.
You just went, help, help. That's not even an accent.
Exactly.
You have to say, help, the bad guy is coming.
Oh, God, you're the bad guy. So actually, I also have my own superhero
as well. Right, I was going to say that you've created your own superhero specifically for cosplay.
Yes. It was there was two reasons really why I decided to come up with Lady Titan. And a lot of the fans were asking me because they wanted to see me in my own superhero costume. But also every time that I was looking at, like, you know, the pictures, it was me in a picture of a Marvel costume, or, you know, me in a picture of someone else owned that brand. So I was like, you know, I want to get my own brand going. So I ended up coming up with Lady Titan. And, you know, it's
what's Lady Titan, is what's she based on? How'd you figure out the character?
Well, it's like a bit of a throwback to the 70s action live superhero type things. So you know where she's going to go. She's a failed actress in Hollywood. And
That's good. You got a backstory.
Yeah.
I love it. So what's her real name?
We haven't got that far.
Okay. Gotcha.
Do you know, I'm still torn between Tanya Tate and something else.
Oh, might be. So it might actually be based on you if you were in the 70s. Okay. Or something else. So
yeah.
We'll call her Greta Gerwig for now. So Greta Gerwig is in the same.
No, well, she's got to have a similar name as Tanya Tate, I think.
Well, Greta Gerwig, GG. Okay. Okay. Trixie Thompson. There you go.
So she's called Trixie Thompson.
Okay.
And she's a failed actress, and she goes into a building, and she's in a basement, and she finds a suit, and she puts it on, and the suit's got her power in. So it's kind of like, you know, some of the trials and tribulations that she gets into as she's discovering the powers of the suit. So that's all going to be coming.
Are you saying like you've based this on like 70s, like Wonder Woman with Linda Carter type thing or comic books? Or?
Well, I... More like the TV shows.
Okay, so that like Wonder Woman.
Yeah, great like Wonder show. Woman. I used to watch a lot of them when I was a kid. You know, Wonder Woman, Linda Carter is so fabulous, so amazing. Mm-hmm. And actually, I watched her. She does a lot of jazz singing. She has her own little jazz band.
Really?
Yeah, she's good.
Does she ever do Comic Cons?
I've never seen her at Comic Con. I've had my picture taken twice with her at the clubs. The clubs are so much smaller.
Sure. Yeah. But if she went to Comic Con, she'd probably have a huge line.
Oh, she would be. I mean, yeah. You'd have to like literally drag her out, I think. But she still looks fabulous now.
Well, she's a pretty girl lasts forever.
Yeah.
You know, if you see like Raquel Welch now, she's still hot. Oh, even though she's
do you know, I love all that Hammer horror.
Do you really?
Yeah.
You would have been perfect in the Hammer horror movies.
If I'd have known you was into that, I would have brought... I've got another picture where I done... it's kind of like a bit of a throwback, like an Ingrid Pitt with the big hair and the glamour and like the flowing robes with just a little bit of blood.
Ingrid Pitt, good call. That's great. Edwidge Fennec. It's another one from that era. So because the Hammer horror films were like... There was a Dracula, a Wolfman, a Frankenstein, a mummy, but they're all in color and just real... kind of gory, and that was the first version of these films that were really visceral and gross to that extent.
They and the women in it were like really hot, like really hot women. And
Google Ingrid Pitt if you guys are listening, you don't know who she is. She was super hot, circa like 1969 or so,
something like that. It was like the 60s and the 70s,
early 70s. Technicolor, the blood was super red. You know, Christopher Lee, Peter Cushing, the classics.
Well, when you talk about some of the stuff that I collect, actually, I've collected some of those figures, like busts, Titan merchandise to them. And I've actually reviewed them on my YouTube channel.
Oh, okay.
So we were talking about some of the things that I like to collect. It's the Hammer horror stuff as well.
Right, right.
So...
And you're talking about you took a picture with Julie Newmar. And has there ever been anybody at the conventions that you see and you're like, oh my gosh, that's so-and-so?
You know, when you go to the conventions, there's like loads of people that you get to see. I don't always wait in the lines.
Well, you shouldn't have to.
It's like
you should get to go to the front of the line.
I was really there.
Titan, damn it.
I was there once, and I was dressed up as Electra Woman, so Sid and Marty Croft, Electra Woman, and I didn't have a Dino Girl. And because some of the costumes that I choose when I go to the conventions, I wanted them to be a little bit different. You know, one year it could be everyone's Frozen, or like one year it could be, you know, everyone's Harley Quinn. And so I always try and make it a little bit different. So it's like, I've not seen that one before.
What's Electra Woman?
It was like Electra Woman and Dino Girl. It was like 1970s, like one of those live action ones they done, like HR Puff and Stuff,
sure,
all that kind of stuff.
Oh, they actually had their own show.
Yeah.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm there and suddenly I see them and suddenly I'm at the front of the line. Don't know how I got there.
I'm not sure how that happened.
I'm at the front of the line. And Marty's like, come here. And
how old is he now at this point?
Oh, God, this is about 3 years ago.
75 at least, right?
He's an older gentleman. Yeah. And he brought me behind and he's like, oh, and he was so happy, you know, to see someone with like a hot blonde with, you know, boobalicious going on there.
Dressed as one of his characters.
Dressed as one of his characters. Yeah. So that was quite a really nice moment, you know, being there and having the creators of that character just be there and embrace you.
Mm-hmm.
And then another time I went back to one of the other conventions where they were and they had Electra Woman and Dino Girl the women that played them were with Sid and Marty Krofft. Oh, okay. So there was all four of them.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool that you know that. You had those shows in England when you were growing up?
Not them ones, but I caught up with them when I got over here.
Okay.
But like the shows that I watched, like Incredible Hulk. Mm-hmm. It's like, I love that one. So sad at the end with the sad music.
Oh, I know. He always walks away. He always has to leave the town. Do, 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 do. The piano. Do, 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 do. Or whatever the heck it was. I'm sure it was something like that.
Something like that.
And he's kind of walking away wistfully. Was there any characters, like comic characters or comic books that were only in the UK that never came here? Like what?
Okay, so in the UK, they have something called the Beano and the Dandy. And so whenever like people say, well, what comic books did you read when you was a kid? And be like, the Beano? The Dandy, and they'd look at you and they'd be like, oh, what's
what?
That?
Yeah.
So they were more like, they were like funny things. I don't know, like they had Beryl the Peril, and she was like a naughty schoolgirl that done everything. And like Dennis the Menace.
Right, these are like comic strips.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, but I used to buy like the albums, like every year I'd get the Dandy album and the Beano album. They had like big stories
bound comic books.
Yeah, like, just like a normal, regular children's book, but like...
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I want to make sure it wasn't like a music album that they were singing songs. Like, my name is Beano or something, you know, which would be awesome. I should start that.
That should sell.
when I was a big comic book kid when I was growing up, and there was actually a comic book called Captain Canuck from Canada, Canucks. And it was really cheesy and chintzy, but it was like
probably the same
Canada's
type of thing.
Own. You know, we had Captain Canuck, damn it.
So we never had like Dan.
Did you?
And he used to eat like cow pies. And you'd see him, he's about to eat his pie, and he'd have like the big horns sticking out of it.
Oh, I actually had a cow.
It was a cow pie. It looked like a pie with
But you never had like the Liverpool Lad or something, like a real comic book that you just like a superhero just for England. Captain UK.
I think they are Captain. Someone was talking to me the other day about Captain Britain, but I'll have to look that one up. They were going mad because I did a webcam show and I had Captain America, like a little, you know, I have different pajamas. So I had a Captain America one and they were like, you're from the UK.
Traitor.
I was like, well, send me a costume from the UK and I shall wear it.
Right. Yes, exactly.
they do. They like to, they send me gifts. I have a mailbox, I have a wish list, and it's my dog's birthday in a few weeks, and so I put some things on for my dog.
Isn't that crazy? Can people just send you gifts? It's like, I need a wish. I'm going to put up a wish list.
Have you not got a wish
list? No. I thought this more something for girls, right?
Guys
for hot
got
girls.
It.
Girl, hot guys, put them up too?
Guys, there's guys in the industry and they get sent things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you will get sent things, but you might get asked for things as well.
In return. What do you get asked for in return? Lewd snapshots?
Or worn clothes, worn item of clothing.
Knickers.
I'm sure they'd be wanting your worn knickers.
My knickers? I don't know, do guys wear knickers? I'm not sure if that's even a thing.
I call them knickers. They're undies, actually, but
The only reason why I know knickers is because I'm a big Beatles fan. When I was a kid, you know, man, you've been a naughty girl. You let your knickers down from I Am the Walrus. And I remember asking my mom, what are knickers? And she's like, she told me they were shorts. Like short pants.
Knickerbocker shorts.
Yeah. Is that kind of right?
Well, years ago, the knickers, women wore the knickers and they were like down to the knees.
Right. Yeah,
like
right.
They were the frilly kind.
Those were the sexy panties of 1897.
They were.
The frilly kind of cut off at the knees, right?
Yeah.
If you could get a girl into her knickers, you're on the way.
Yeah, you're right? Well on the way.
But I guess the thing about exclusive UK superheroes, I guess like Doctor Who is not a superhero.
Oh yeah,
but that's like so huge in the UK.
Doctor Who is so massive. I grew up with Doctor Who. Tom Baker, who's the fourth Doctor.
You actually grew up with him?
Like, don't mean grow up with him. I mean, I watched it as I grew up.
I don't know if you guys went to school together or something. I don't know.
No, that's funny because some people sometimes go to me. Do you know the Beatles?
Oh, I'm sure.
Well, two of them are dead.
Right.
And I've met Paul McCartney's cousin. Does that count?
Yeah, you're from Liverpool, so you must know the Beatles, right?
You must know them.
Because they just hang out there like all the time in the street.
Actually, my family did have a club. And the Beatles did used to go into that club.
Really?
And my mum worked in a bar. And I remember she said to me, she worked in this, well, it was a pub, not a bar, mm-hmm. a pub called The Grapes in Liverpool, in Matthew Street. And she worked there. And like the Beatles' old manager come in. And she said, he used to come in. And I remember going to one day, oh, mum, why didn't you marry him? She went, because I was really young and he was like old and like he was
ugly.
Like, he was like a little bit overweight. She must have been like a teenager. And I don't know how old he was then.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, you should have married him. You know, like you do when you're a kid. Because it's right? Like, it's the Beatles, old manager.
The Beatles. But do you get that though? Like, for example, like coming from Canada, you obviously play hockey. Like I do, but lots of people don't. Or like, do you guys live in igloos? It's like, no, that's so stupid. But do you get people that because you're Liverpool, the first thing they always say is, oh, the Beatles. Cause that's what everyone knows yeah. Liverpool for. And you do you get sick of it? Like, all right, we get it. Like stop.
I don't mind it.
Okay.
I don't mind it. It's like, okay, well actually they know who the Beatles are.
Yeah.
Because some people don't. And it's like, and then you go, right? Where are you from? I'm from Liverpool. You know, the same place as the Beatles, and they still like, and then I go, Liverpool Football Club or Steven Gerrard, you know, the football player that come to play for LA Galaxy.
Yep, no.
They're like, and so if someone says, oh, the Beatles, I'm like, okay.
Okay, there's the connection.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I give them, you know, cred.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters. Both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
So we were talking about Lady Titan, and you mentioned that you have all the origins and the trials and tribulations she's going through. Are you going to actually do a comic book? Because I'm looking yes. right here, like I keep looking over your shoulder. You have a tote bag that actually has Lady Titan on it, and I'll take a picture of that and post it. And nice. It's like it's a very long legged. It looks basically like you. It's a hot blonde superhero.
Yeah,
but it's just a picture. What do we? Are we going to?
Yeah,
see
the
more
comic
of her?
Book's going to be coming.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how did you get that rolling?
This is like the hardest part of everything, I think, is just kind of like getting the pieces together and coming up with the comic book. You know, it's everything costs. So it's like, you know, I can't just sit there and the comic book appears in front of my eyes. So we're still working on it in terms of getting like an artist, someone to draw it, someone to color it, the basic story's there. So we're still working on everything.
But how do you pitch, like, you know, if you want to do a comic. I'm sure there's lots of people like, I would like to start my own comic. Well, please tell us, Tanya, how do you start your own comic?
I think for me, already starting with my own brand and then making that character be recognizable and kind of getting it out there and taking it to conventions. Like you're saying that you can see the tote bag. I've actually got t-shirts. So, you know, I've got the t-shirts that people can go and buy. I've got the vinyl figure, which we've got sitting right in front of
you. Action figure here.
Yeah, my hero toys.
And but there's one that's not colored.
Yeah, so the reason why I came up with these, they're 6-inch stylized figures. And I wanted to kind of like design my own superhero. So, you know, you can get the figures and you can paint them. Didn't find a female one. I kept looking everywhere and I was like, wow, there's no female one.
Oh, so this is a thing too, you buy like just a body and then you paint your own costume on.
Yeah, that's like it. That's okay. The thing that people like to do. And so eventually I was just like, I'll make my own. And so this is I've got them in different colors. So they come in white, brown,
green. That's She-Hulk colors.
Exactly.
Again, she comes
out. And like a kind of like a pinky skin, peachy color, wherever it is. And so you can buy these as blank vinyl figures and you can make your own superhero figures. But I also have my own superhero figure where it's me as Lady Titan, where it's all fully painted.
Some awesome Farrah Fawcett hair there.
Yeah, I like that hair actually.
So how did you come up with the design for Lady Titan? Can you draw? Are you an artist?
I'm not an artist, no. But it's kind of like putting the idea down, you know. One of my favorite colors is purple. Mm-hmm. And I look back at a lot of the red carpets that I've been on, it's the purple dress.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, that's my color. And I wanted something that was revealing, but not not too revealing. I mean, the back of this is kind of like the way that it is on me, where it's like a full back.
Yeah, it's not like she's wearing a
she's not got a thong on, no.
It's not a porn star superhero.
No.
It's a real superhero.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You know, so the neckline is really plunging, mm-hmm. but you know, that's okay because that's what superheroes have.
Starfire. You know Starfire from the Teen Titans? She had great boobs. When I was like 14, I was like, oh, I wish I could be. She was from another planet. I was like, I wish I could meet Starfire. She was orange skin, but nice boobs. So
you were just focused on the one point.
Well, no, but I liked her whole thing. But she had really big boobs similar to Lady Titan.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, you've got to play with your assets. So
it's perfect, right? Yeah.
So and Silver just kind of like looked nice. So it's just basically playing around with a few different ideas, and then eventually got that down, and then I gave it to somebody, and they kind of did all the artwork for me, mm-hmm. based on the idea that I initially came up with.
Okay, so then you take that artwork to a publisher or to a comic book company, or
yeah,
how do you pitch this? Like, this is what I want to do, because of, you said you have your name value. Your
yeah. brand. For me, I do a lot of panels. my work is syndicated with a company called First Comics News, and they have panels on at like San Diego Comic-Con and WonderCon. And one of the panels that I sit on is how to get news for your product. So, you know, the thing is, when you're starting from scratch, you want to come up with a comic. It's not going to sell itself. There's a million different ways that you can do it. I always say about starting off with the brand and getting out there and getting on social media, getting people to talk about it, making it go viral, then giving it to the people that will review it. So giving it to different companies that do like comic book reviews. But then you've also got to publish it as well. And that's a cost. And, you know, a lot of people go with crowdfunding.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like it's hard to get off the ground, and it costs money, and there's still, even though you might crowdfund it, there's still a lot of money that you've got to find out your own pocket as well. Mm. So it's a lot of sheer determination, being in the right places, networking, going to conventions, meeting people, putting it out there. So I've got all this to come for mine.
And then you have to meet with writers, or are you writing actually the comic too?
The outline is drawn, but somebody who's a comic book writer has to do that. You know, I can't do everything.
Just didn't know if you had like a whole idea in mind, and do you have a whole universe? Like, is there going to be villains that she's fighting, or does she just kind of hang out and walk down the street and see what's up?
There will be some villains. Ah, yeah.
Wow. Really? So you have that in mind too.
Mm-hmm.
So, and when you're talking about like comic books now are so for adults, whereas they used to be, like you said, Beano, just for kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
So would Lady Titan ever have sex in the comic?
I've not got that far yet.
Okay.
But here's the thing, you know, it's for me, it's a really fine line, because I try and... When I first started doing the comic conventions, I wanted to try and keep myself as, this is me, I'm at a comic convention. Yeah. You know, this is a child-friendly family place. So I wore the costumes that were relevant for them environments.
Smart.
And the cosplay and blog, Just a Lot of Tanya, that's completely safe for work, so you can get caught looking at it by your wife, or
yeah,
or your kids can come and look at it, and there's nothing on there that is untoward, you know. So when it comes to doing my superhero products and branding, I still try and keep that, so it's,
as you should,
it's available for everybody.
Right. Is it hard though to separate those worlds?
No, in terms of like, I know when I'm going onto that, you know, that cosplay blog, I can put that on there. And when I'm at the comic convention, I'm this person.
Sure. I'm not saying for you, though. I'm saying for people to understand like the difference between the two.
Do you mean the fans?
Yeah, because for example, like, you know, I have a band and I'm a wrestler, and I've always kept them very distinct and separate, because you have to, or else people think, oh, okay, the band's going to be a wrestling thing and they're going to be jumping up and down in the ring and talking about body slamming. It's not that. It's okay, when I'm a musician, that's what I do. When I'm wrestling, that's what I do. When I'm podcasting, that's what I do. Keep the world separate. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's hard to do that because people have a lot of preconceived notions of what it is that you're doing.
Yeah. I think for me, you know, I go to the comic conventions and the fans see me there, and, you know, they accept me that I'm mm-hmm. that cosplayer that day. You know, I don't really get inappropriate things, and there are actually people that see both of my brands and both of my businesses. They talk to me, but they're very discreet about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually am quite blessed in that way, in that
And there's going to be a lot of people that just know you as Lady Titan as well, mm-hmm. that have no idea.
It's funny because they know me as Lady Titan, then they'll go back and look it up and Google it, and it's like Tanya Tate, and they're like, oh, what? We what? Didn't know.
That's why you have to go as Trixie Thompson next time.
Yeah.
What are some of your favorite comic books? Or characters?
You know, there's so many comic books that I get to read. There's a company called Zenoscope, and they do this line which is like Grim Fairy Tales. And it's like
Grim Fairy Tales?
Yeah. Mm. It's Grim Fairy Tales, like that's the name of it.
Yeah.
So it's like all your all your fairy tales from like years ago, like
Hansel and Gretel.
Hansel and Gretel's one of them. You know, you see the boy in the cage. It's just like
a modern version.
But the girls are all hot. Like really hot. Like a lot of I love the artwork. It's just like the little tiny waist and the big boobs and like the big backside and the long legs. Yeah. And it's just like hot work, but it's like, you know, Snow White and, you know, the stepmom. But then there's always some kind of like little twist, a little horror, a piece of horror in it. So it's quite interesting.
It's amazing when you think of those fairy tales that we used to get told when we were kids or read about, just how screwed up they really are.
That's like, scary.
Hansel and Gretel is pretty, like you said, in the cage and eating kids cooker. And shoving the witch into the oven. And it's like some pretty violent stuff for a 5-year-old kid, you know?
And when you're a kid, you don't think of that.
Yeah.
You think, oh, yeah.
Just when you grow up, you realize how as fucked up it was. Now, you mentioned you won the MILF of the year. So kids, do they know all the stuff that you do? Or are they still too young?
MILF of the year doesn't mean whether you've got kids or not in our industry.
Really? Oh, okay.
It just means like, mom, I'd like to fuck. So I think when you're past a certain age... you kind of get given that label regardless of whether you...
It's like the seniors division?
Yeah. It's like, help me get me bus pass soon.
I didn't even know... Yeah, my bus pass. I'm going to go for the early bird dinner at the Sizzler later on tonight. So you don't even have to be a mother to be a MILF?
No.
Wow. Had no idea. See,
yeah,
I think learned something today.
It's just a label that you get.
Oh, okay. So there you go.
So... Some of us have kids and some of us don't.
I had no idea. So that's just like the weight class that you're in or whatever. It shouldn't even matter. But I guess you could be like 22 years old and have a kid.
But they don't get called MILFs.
Gotcha.
It's funny because some of these young girls come and I've put them in the movie and they're like, oh, the babysitter. And I'm like, what babysitter? Oh, yeah, like my kid at home. You know, they talk about it off camera. And I look at them, they're like 19. I'm like, you're a MILF.
Yeah, you are technically a MILF, I am not. So what's the thing here?
So I think if you're over 25, you tend to get the label
really?
Slammed on. Some girls don't like having that label on. You know, if you're still under 30, a lot of girls don't like it. I think even certain girls that are over 30 don't like the MILF. Mm-hmm. The MILF label.
Tag, yeah.
Because it's a label. But you know, for me, it's like embrace it. I mean, I've won 10 awards for being a MILF.
If you're going to be a MILF, be the best damn MILF.
Yeah. So,
do you ever get anybody that wants to webcam with you while you're wearing the Lady Titan costume?
I've had them that want me to wear superhero costumes.
Or any superhero costume?
Yeah.
Who's the most popular superhero costume they ask you to wear?
Oh, God, I don't know.
A Supergirl?
Catwoman? Probably okay, Catwoman.
Yeah.
Probably because it's the most recognizable one and it's, you know, it appeals to men of all ages, doesn't it?
I think if you are into even not just comic books, like a sexy, like you said, like a real sleek, the Catwoman outfit always works.
Yeah.
And then the other one, which you could pass for with your cheekbones, is Princess Leia in Return of the Jedi.
Oh yeah.
Have you ever dressed up as that?
No, I've never
guys,
done that.
Guys
I've never
love
done that,
that one.
Actually. Yeah. Oh, I like that. My
you could do it. Yeah, you got the cheekbones. I have to put your hair in a braid. And you could do that one. That could be another. The buns. This is not the buns, though. She just had one big long braid.
Oh, okay.
You've never seen the costume?
I think I have.
The Jabba the Hutt where she's got the bikini and the thing.
Yeah. I know.
My friends
wore that costume once. Yeah,
I'm sure.
She probably think you're copying
it. I'm sure you see it all the time at the cosplays. Last question. Your favorite superhero of all time.
Oh my God. My favorite superhero of all time. I'm just going to call it Catwoman.
Yeah.
It's got to be, you know,
that's
most recognizable, just sultry, powerful with a little bit of naughtiness. The guys are all No, she can twist people around her little finger.
Dolls.
Dolls. Do you know, I've got another doll that I'm talking about having come out with. I forget the name, how you say it. Fichen, F-I-C-E-N. And it's like a seamless doll. So I've been approached by a company right now. The same company, they do other dolls like the Caroline Monroe doll, and there's a Lady Death, and there's a Robin Hood Cenoscope character. So that's like, I don't even know what it's
8 inches or 10 inches.
Yeah. It looks more like a real doll. This is a stylized figure, the Lady Titan that you've got there, but this looks more like, should I say, you could compare it more to a Barbie doll, say.
So this is becoming a big industry for you. Like, can you see a time when you're going to leave the adult film industry and just go completely into the Lady Titan industry?
Do you know, I always think, you know, keep working in stuff that you enjoy doing. I'm not going to be forever having sex in the camera, but I've started progressing more into directing. So maybe there'll be a time when I'll direct adult stuff and then be directing Lady Titan as well. So
ambition.
You got it, Abby.
It's perfect. Trixie Thompson. That's the name.
Oh my God. They'll all be Googling it now. I'm going to buy that domain name before this goes
TrixieThompson.com.
out.
TrixieThompson.com. Tanya Tate is awesome. Lady Titan. Great. Lady Titan.
Lady Titan. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much to Tanya Tate. She is going to be at San Diego Comic-Con this weekend as Lady Titan, her cosplay, a hugely successful character that she plays. On Thursday, July 21st, she's going to be from 10:30 at 11:30 a.m. in room 8. She's going to do a panel, how to get news coverage. I'm sure she's done really well at that. And Friday, July 22nd, from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m., she's going to be doing a signing at booth 4022. The Full Moon Horror booth. She is going to be there dressed as Lady Titan. She's probably going to be walking around and hanging out all weekend long. Keep an eye out for her. Say hi if you spot her. Very, very cool girl. Thanks to Tanya, too, for the great conversation about pop culture, superheroes, cosplay, a little bit of adult film there, which is always interesting as well. So if you want to see what else Tanya's up to, check out her website or follow her on the Twitter at Tanya Tate. Now remember, also, mark your calendars. March 15th, 2017. It's going to be the biggest podcast ever when Mick Foley joins Talk is Jericho for the first time ever. The new GM of Raw. I guess I'll be working with him every week now. But the countdown has begun. 237 days and counting until we hear the biggest podcast ever. And speaking of big podcasts, how about the debut podcast on the debut of the Jericho Network, kicking ass and taking names. I'm talking keeping it 100, tearing up the iTunes charts. It's already top 10 in the sports charts. A huge hit, a huge, huge response. People are enjoying it and loving it. It's the latest big hit podcast on the Jericho Network at podcast1.com. If you haven't downloaded or subscribed to it yet, what are you waiting for? It's a very cool kind of a morning show, whack pack discussion. Conan, Disco Inferno, Kevin Gill, Hooven to Guerrera. A lot of guys are coming in there and they just have a ridiculous discussions about everything they can think of. It's very off the cuff and it's hilarious, controversial, and it's real. Keeping it 100 right now on the Jericho Network via podcast1.com. Go to iTunes and hit the subscribe button and do the same for Talk is Jericho if you haven't already. If you haven't already, what are you doing, man? Get off your ass and jam, brother. Leave us both 5-star ratings and reviews. I know you guys love podcasts, so do I, and not only do you get Talk is Jericho twice a week, you get Conan Keeping it 100 on the Jericho Network via Podcast One. What could be better? Except for more podcasts on the Jericho Network. I got a lot more coming, I promise. Got a lot more signed up. Very diverse subjects and guests and hosts. You're going to love it. Thank you for checking out Conan, and thank you for checking me out and supporting the great Talk is Jericho sponsors. DDPYoga.com/Jericho. Get 20% off anything you paddle choose for a limited time, including the new collector's edition of The Resurrection of Jake the Snake, the great documentary. Anything else you want to get the yoga program, get on it, man. Don't make any more excuses. And also, you can even go listen to some books while you do DDP yoga. Go to audible.com/Jericho. You start your 30-day trial and get a free audiobook. Don't forget TrueCar. Save money, save time. And of course, the OG sponsor, Amazon. Easiest way to support this show. Please use the links anytime you do online shopping. All my Amazon links are at podcastone.com. Click on the Killer Deals button in the top right corner of the page, then hit the Talk is Jericho button. I got Amazon links for USA, UK, Canada. Every time you use the Talk is Jericho Amazon links, Amazon kicks back a small percentage to the show to help us cover production costs. You can buy just about anything you want on Amazon using them TIJ Amazon links. Don't cost you anything extra. No hidden fees or extra charges. Just go to podcastone.com. Click on the Killer Deals button in the top right corner of the page, then hit the Talk is Jericho button. Thanks so much for listening. Keep listening for the 60-second AP News headlines coming up next. Stay hard, stay hungry, peace, love, and hugs. And see you on Friday for a super surprise special guest. You're going to have to tune in late Thursday night, early Friday morning to find out who it's going to be. It's a huge NXT superstar, all right? Just let me say that. Super popular, very much requested, and a super surprise special guest will be here on Friday. You don't know who it's going to be until you check it out. We'll see you then with a big yeah, boy!
You can download new episodes of Talk is Jericho every Wednesday and Friday at PodcastOne.com. That's PodcastOne.com.